It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? So glad that you've joined us today. Please that you follow me in the study of the Word of God. We're in the book of Leviticus today, Leviticus chapter 16, and we're reading down from the 14th verse on. So please that you open your Bibles to Leviticus chapter 16, and we're going to start with the 14th verse. Leviticus chapter 16, verse 14. While you're looking that up, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you would like to write to us, our mailing address is Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. If you'd like to visit our website, you'll find us at www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. Hope that was enough time now for you to open your Bibles and prepare for the study as we begin reading now with Leviticus chapter 16, verse 14. And he shall take the blood of the bullock and sprinkle it with his fingers upon the mercy seat eastward, and before the mercy seat shall he sprinkle of the blood with his finger seven times. Then shall he kill the goat of the sin offering that is for the people, and bring his blood within the veil, and do with that blood as he did with the blood of the bullock, and sprinkle it upon the mercy seat and before the mercy seat. And he shall make an atonement for the holy place because of the uncleanness of the children of Israel, and because of their transgressions in all their sins. So shall he do for the tabernacle of the congregation that remaineth among them in the midst of their uncleanness. And there shall be no man in the tabernacle of the congregation when he goeth in to make an atonement in the holy place until he come out, and have made an atonement for himself and for his household and for all the congregation of Israel. And he shall go out unto the altar that is before the Lord and make an atonement for it, and shall take the blood of the bullock and the blood of the goat and put it upon the horns of the altar round about. He shall sprinkle of the blood upon it with his finger seven times and cleanse it and hallow it from the uncleanness of the children of Israel. And when he hath made an end of reconciling the holy place, and the tabernacle of the congregation, and the altar, he shall bring the live goat, and Aaron shall lay both his hands upon the head of the live goat, and confess over him all the iniquity of the children of Israel, and all their transgressions, and all their sins, putting them upon the head of the goat, and shall send him away by the hand of a fit man into the wilderness. And the goat shall bear upon him all their iniquities unto a land not inhabited. And he shall let go the goat in the wilderness. And Aaron shall come into the tabernacle of the congregation and shall put off the linen garments which he hath put on when he went into the holy place, and shall leave them there. And he shall wash his flesh with water in the holy place, and put on his garments, and come forth and offer his burnt offering and the burnt offering for the people, and make an atonement for himself and for the people. And we're going to end with the 24th verse there, and please that we will now just go to the Lord in prayer and begin this study. Father, it's wonderful to come and to enjoy this time. I just ask that you will guide and lead us as we continue this study with the 16th chapter of Leviticus and back into Hebrews, the 9th and 10th chapters. Please, dear Lord, that you would just guide and lead us each day. We need your will. We need your way. We need your power. We need your strength. We need your saving. Dear Father, there is so much that we need to do. And so please today that you will just help us to see the need that we have and see, dear Father, how that we need your saving power. We need the salvation that you have given us. So please, dear Lord, just guide and lead us. The only way we can be saved is to be saved by your precious blood. The only way we can be saved is by being obedient, listening so carefully and prayerfully to your way and will. So please, dear Lord, that we invite you into our hearts to save us, that we know you as our personal Savior, and we'll begin then to serve you and praise you and honor you. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. As we continue here with this 14th verse, and he shall take of the blood of the bullock and sprinkle it with his fingers upon the mercy seat eastward, and before the mercy seat shall he sprinkle the blood with his fingers seven times. Now, again, let's take just a minute to kind of remind ourselves just a little bit, because I don't want you to not understand here the tabernacle itself. You have this tent arrangement. When you come in, from the east, you have the table of showbread on one side, the lampstand on another, and the incense altar in the middle. Beyond that is a veil. Beyond the veil is the mercy seat. The mercy seat within this single room here, this 15 by 15 by 15 feet tall, made of gold walls. The gold is, acacia wood is overlaid with gold, and then you've got a white linen ceiling, and remember the other articles that were used to cover it, to keep it safe, and each had a wonderful meaning of salvation. Been through that some time ago. Well, that's this holy place, the Holy of Holies. And so on this Day of Atonement, the high priest, being Aaron, was to enter in, and he would go in there on behalf of himself, and he would kill the bullock for that in the sixth verse, and then he would use as a sin offering a goat, and he would also then catch the blood of that goat and take it in. Now, a lot of people look at this and they just don't like the thought of this blood, and it's kind of a gory religion. It isn't at all. It's God's plan. It's God's way. When Solomon dedicated the temple that he had built for his father David and for the Lord, when he built that temple, there was so much that was there was thousands of animals, of goats, of rams, of sheep that was put to death for the sin offering, for the burnt offering, for the there was so much that was taken care of at that time to honor and celebrate our God. Well, as we look at this tabernacle now, we've talked a little bit about this room, this 15 by 15, where the Ark of the Covenant is, and the mercy seat. You know, we need to take a look to see what makes that room, what makes that a mercy seat, that gold slab. Remember, it was acacia wood overlaid with gold, but that was the Ark, but then of the Covenant. But the mercy seat, the top of the Ark, the top of the table, so to speak, was pure gold. Now, if you remember it being pure gold, well, I want you to see, as it is made into pure gold, that in itself is not a mercy seat, because gold stands for God, and God is righteous, God is perfect, and there's no way that we can deal with God. We can't talk to God. We can't fellowship with God on our own ground, on our own basis. It has to be upon God's ground and God's basis. Well, when the blood is applied, that's when it becomes a mercy seat. And I want you to see that, because I believe most people today have lost sight of the blood, its power, its strength, its importance. And so I want you today, and through this study, and that's the reason I chose this study, was to show you, you know, we have built the tabernacle in the book of Exodus. I wanted to show you the most important day that there was, and that was the Day of Atonement. So we came all the way to the 16th chapter of Leviticus to look at that. And we're going to apply it then to the person of Jesus Christ in Hebrews chapter 9, 10, and chapter 10. So as we look now at this picture, we have the bullock for Aaron, and we have two goats. One is the Lord's, the other is the scapegoat. We've learned that in these past verses as we've studied those. We've looked at the sin offering, and we've looked at the burnt offering. The sin offering especially is being dealt with here, and that sin offering deals right down to the nitty-gritty, right down to the dirt, right down to the evil nature that you and I have. That's what it's dealing with. And so as we look at that and as we see that, we need to recognize what they're doing here. They're taking care of our sin, and we know as we looked at these verses of Scripture, we enjoyed looking not only at the sin offering and at the burnt offering, but also we looked at what the word atonement meant, and I think we need to take a few minutes there. The word atonement means to cover up, to appease, or to cover the face. And the purpose here is that it is not able to remove sin. It is just has an ability to cover it. And the covering remained until the day Jesus died on the cross, and that's some 1,500 years later. So see, this picture, this constant picture, this constant reminder of what a Savior was going to do. But each year, every day on the Day of Atonement, as the high priest would go in, and when he would present it by faith, the people by faith would come, it would cover their sin. Again, it had no means of removing it, because we had to wait for Jesus to do that. And his death upon the cross and his resurrection, the perfect offering, the perfect sacrifice. The bullock, the goats, they were as perfect as you can get, but they're still under the curse, and so there was no means of salvation could be found through there. And so, all right, now, we have the sin offering, we've talked about the goats, we've talked about the bullock, we have... I talked a little bit last time we were together about the censer full of burning coals of the fire from off of the altar before the Lord, and his hands full of sweet incense beaten small, and it would just flow upward in such a wonderful fragrance, and it would go upward and forward. In other words, it would leave the holy place where the incense altar, otherwise known as prayer altar, and table of showbread on one side, and lampstand on the other side. All right, now, as we look at this, and you see this, we find that this incense, when he would bring the coals from the altar outside, put the coals in, there was no fire in the tabernacle in the holy place. Those coals were brought from the altar, the brazen altar outside, out front, because we cannot speak to our Father unless our sin is taken care of. And so, see, it's just picture after picture. And our sin was taken care of at the brazen altar. That stands for the cross of Calvary. When you come in and that offering, that it was offered for your behalf, and we come by faith, we believed that that was our salvation, and God says it is. We believe it. And so we need to believe God's word. And so you need to come by faith to him. And so once we're saved, once we know the Lord Jesus as our Savior, then, okay, we have the coals that these very offerings and sacrifices were brought to. We take those coals. So we bring in what was accomplished at the brazen altar. We bring in what was accomplished at the cross. And now, for the first time, we can lift our voices up to a holy, just God because of Jesus Christ, because of the offering, because of the sacrifice. Now, if you'll notice that this incense, then, in this 12th verse, flows upward and forward over into the Holy of Holies. All right, that has to take place, and the reason that needs to come is because we need to see, we need to have this fellowship, this wonderful fellowship, to see that our heart is right before a holy God, that we may come in before him. Well, if it isn't, Aaron, as the representative here, he would have died, and that's what the Scripture says, because verse 13, and he shall put the incense upon the fire before the Lord, that the cloud of incense may cover the mercy seat that is upon the testimony, that he die not. And so these prayers, these sweet prayers that goes up, this sweet incense that comes forward and literally covers this Ark of the Covenant and the mercy seat and the cherubims on each side. And so, and you know, let's remember here what is in this Ark of the Covenant. Right now, what is in the Ark is the Ten Commandments, the law. And see, the law doesn't save. You can't keep the law and please God, because you can't. And so the only thing the law does is condemn you. So if you look at the law and you see it and you understand it the way God applies it to our hearts, we are condemned. We are dead in our trespasses and sins. That's what we are. So you see, by coming by faith to the Lord Jesus Christ, we can accept this sacrifice, this opportunity. Well, inside, underneath this mercy seat, and the only thing that makes it a mercy seat is the blood. And we're going to talk about that in a little bit. But inside this, underneath this, the mercy seat, underneath this top, in the Ark of the Covenant, is the law. And so you see, we come before God, He demands perfection. We can't give it. We can't do it. And so that's the reason that never can anyone go before God without the blood. Nor could Aaron. Aaron could not go before a holy God. He could not represent himself. He could not come for himself. He could not come for his people, for the people of Israel, if he did not bring the blood. That was the only way. That was the only option that we had, was that he would bring the blood first. Now, if you'll notice, we come now to this verse 14. The incense has filled this room. The presence of God is there. Aaron cannot go in until the incense has filled the room. And then, and he shall take the blood of the bullock and sprinkle it with his fingers upon the mercy seat eastward. Remember, you came in from the east. And so he would eastward, and before the mercy seat shall he sprinkle the blood with his finger seven times. And so seven times. Why seven? Well, seven is the number of perfection, the number of completeness. And so when he would come in, that's all through the scripture. So when Aaron would come into this Holy of Holies on behalf of himself with his bullock, he would do it before it and upon it seven times. One, two, three. He would take his fingers and he would sprinkle this blood across there. You think, oh, what a sight. Yes, what a glorious sight. Because it's a picture of the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed on Calvary. And you see, he was perfect. It was a complete offering, a complete means of salvation through our Savior. And that's the reason, my friend, I tell you that you've got to be saved. You've got to trust in Jesus. Well, we come then to this 15th verse. And then shall he kill the goat of the sin offering that is for the people, and bring his blood within the veil, and do with the blood as he did with the blood of the bullock, and sprinkled upon the mercy seat and before the mercy seat. Once again, seven times he takes the blood. He took the bullock first. That was for himself. Then next he come and he brings in the blood from this goat, and he sprinkles it seven times on behalf of the people. And he shall make an atonement, verse 16 says, for the holy place, because of the uncleanness of the children of Israel, and because of their transgressions in all their sins, so shall he do for the tabernacle of the congregation that remaineth among them in the midst of their uncleanness. It's an unclean people, and these people need salvation. And so Aaron comes first for himself, and then he comes on behalf of the people. Now, as we look through this, we're going to find that the tabernacle itself is cleansed. And so we drop off here in the next couple of verses, because we find here that how it's done. And so we find the uncleanness of the nation of Israel. Verse 17, now there shall be no man in the tabernacle of the congregation when he goeth in to make an atonement in the holy place, until he come out and have made an atonement for himself and for his household and for all the congregation of Israel. And so, and have made an atonement for himself. So let's back up. There shall be no man in the tabernacle of the congregation when he goes in. Nobody else. You see, when you're in the holy place and the Holy of Holies, only one man could ever enter there, and that was the high priest. But the holy place, there was a ministering constantly of the priests. They were always bringing offerings and sacrifices, washing themselves at the laver, coming in forward then into the holy place, enjoying the fellowship with the table of showbread, enjoying the lampstand and the sweet incense that was burning. It was a beautiful place, a beautiful setting, and that's what we have in Jesus. And you see, when we take care of our sin out at the brazen altar, and then we go and we scrub and we wash. You know, and when I work hard, why, I get dirty. And there's really, really nice when I get a chance to get cleaned up. I get a chance to get a shower or get at least my hands and my face washed. And then you'll feel like you can sit down and have a meal. I've shared with you some time ago a remembrance, a wonderful memory that I have of my grandparents, and in the back of the house, why, there was the old cistern, and there was this old pan, this old gray pan. I can still see it, even though it was, you know, some 40 years ago, or far longer than that, 50 years ago. And I remember coming and him turning this crank, and I was big enough that he'd even let me do it, you know, and Grandpa would let me turn that crank, and he'd fill that bowl with water, and then we had the old ivory soap, and I can still smell that, you know, and we would wash, and of course we would be so dirty from being out on the farm that one of us would wash, and then we'd throw it out, just throw the water onto the grass, and then we'd crank that old cistern again and bring up the fresh water again, and then the other would wash your hands, you know, and there was an old towel always underneath the rack of this little stool that protruded up. It was a piece of metal out of the ground that I suppose Grandpa had made, and there was two of them, you know, and I can see that. But you never went to eat until you washed your hands. We never even got in the house before we had washed up, washed our face, washed our hands, and then we were ready to come in and enjoy the meal. Well, you see, that's a principle that God uses through everything, through His Word, through everything. You can't come before God. You can't come and feed upon His Word until after you've washed. Well, washing here is getting rid of those sins that God is not pleased with. We need to wash that filth off a little bit. You know, we're walking in this old world all the time, and it's a filthy, old, dirty world. And so we need to understand that through this filth and this dirt, God has given us a means to clean it. And here with the picture of the tabernacle, it's the laver. So first of all, you come to the cross of Calvary, which is the brazen altar out front. And once your sin, you have trusted in Jesus, then your sin is taken away. But we still have the old flesh. We still live in the world. So we need to come to the laver. We need to do the cleansing. And then after the cleansing, then, we go from there on to into the tabernacle, into the holy place. There we have the table of showbread, we have the lampstand, we have the incense. Wonderful fellowship. But you're not going to have that. You're not going to learn. You're not going to grow until you have come by faith to Jesus Christ at the cross. Well, this is this beautiful picture here. And, of course, this Day of Atonement was an annual affair of once a year that all the sin of the people was taken care of and dealt with. Well, first again, he had to come by the altar, the laver, into the holy place. Well, the scripture says here that no man shall be no man in the tabernacle of the congregation when he goeth in to make an atonement in the holy place until he came out and have made an atonement for himself and for his household and for all the congregation of Israel. So, again, it's empty. There is nobody present. There's nobody there. He does it alone. Oh, my friend, who went to the cross? Who finished the work of salvation? Who did the work of salvation for us? Jesus. He did it alone. He did it by himself. And what a picture here this high priest is he does the same. And so, there shall be no man in the tabernacle of the congregation when he goeth in to make an atonement in the holy place until he come out, and have made an atonement for himself and for his household and for all the congregation of Israel. And so he goes in with the blood of the bullock. He goes in with the blood of the goat. And now that he comes out, and when he comes out, in verse 18, unto the altar that is before the Lord, and to make an atonement for it, and shall take the blood of the bullock and the blood of the goat, and put it upon the horns of the altar round about. And he shall sprinkle of the blood upon it with his finger seven times, and cleanse it, and hallow it for the uncleanness of the children of Israel. And so, you see, they're bringing these offerings constantly, and these offerings, these sacrifices are being offered up on this brazen altar. But once a year, because of the people, because of their sin, once a year it was brought to the Lord. It needed to be cleaned. It needed to be cleansed. And so when he would make the atonement, and again, that atonement is that covering that to appease, to make things right with God, at least today. And again, a covering, because these animals couldn't take the sin away till Jesus went to the cross and finished that. He had taken care of that. He went into the Holy of Holies before the righteous God with the incense going, pouring forwards into it. I hope you can see that in your mind. I hope that you kind of draw this tabernacle out so that you can kind of see, because it's a wonderful example of your life and my life. Starts at the cross. We get the washing of the Word so we can come before a righteous God. Once we've been cleansed, we can feed upon His Word. We love the light. We love the incense, the sweet odor of being around our God, the sweet fragrance. And then, my friend, we can go right to God the Father. All that is given and all that is offered. Well, here, because Jesus had not finished that work, some 1,500 years yet before it took place, we have this picture. And it was a picture that was to be withheld, was to be taken care of for the next, 1,500 years. So almost 1,500 times it should have taken place. It didn't, because of some of the things that had happened to the nation of Israel with their disobedience. But it was intended to that way. All right, so no man in the tabernacle of the congregation, when he goeth in to make an atonement in the holy place, until he come out and have made an atonement for himself and for his household and for all the congregation of Israel. He shall go out into the altar. Now this is the brazen altar out front. And he takes that blood and he wipes the blood upon the horns. There are four corners to this altar, if you remember. And it was raised up. It was fair size in relationship to everything else. But it had four posts. And he would take, because once he would cover those posts with the blood, then it would represent, be as if he poured the blood over everything. And if you'll notice, he did it seven times. And he took the blood of the bullock and the blood of the goat, and he put it up on the horns of the altar round about. And he shall sprinkle of the blood upon it with his finger seven times to cleanse it. So he rubbed the blood on, and then he sprinkled the blood up on the altar to hallow it for the uncleanness of the children of Israel. You see, they're filthy, they're unclean, and so they needed to do this to make it right. And it is all done by the blood, the precious. This is a picture of the precious blood of Jesus. And when he hath made an end of the reconciling of the holy place and the tabernacle congregation and the altar, he shall bring the live goat. So you see, it was quite a procedure. He went in first all the way to the Holy of Holies. He presented the blood there. He washed. First, he put on the linen, proper linen clothes, that he could come properly before the Lord. He would come then. First with the bullock, next with the goat, only after the incense had raised up into that area. Then he comes back out and he literally sanctifies, he cleanses every item because of the pollution of the people. And he works his way back out. And once he gets back out, now here stands this scapegoat. And so we're going to have to end there. Once again, we're out of time. But what we need to do is we're going to take a look at that scapegoat next time we're together. You know, it is wonderful to look to the Word of God and to study it. But more wonderful than the study is the first coming, the relationship. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. I hope you know Jesus today. If you don't, please come. My dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?